This podcast is brought to you by DIA, the trusted global neutral forum for healthcare product development professionals. DIA, driving insights to action.
Various data sources are used to evaluate patient safety throughout the healthcare product lifecycle, but the strengths and limitations of these sources can vary widely. Data collection methods, experimental design, and the quality of the measurements themselves play a crucial role in how the data are analyzed and how the results of these analyses are interpreted and, equally importantly, communicated, both in writing and also in presentations, live presentations at scientific conferences. In their most recent research, the Safety Working Group of the Biopharmaceutical Section of the American Statistical Organization focused on the statistical strategies for obtaining reliable evidence from sources of safety data. Their extensive research led to four manuscripts and four papers that were accepted and published in April this year as a special section in our peer-reviewed journal, Therapeutic Innovation and Regulatory Science, the peer-reviewed journal of DIA. Our guests today are three of the authors and members of the Safety Working Group: Dr. Richard Zink, Director of Statistics at Target Pharma Solutions; Dr. Olga Marchenko, Head of Therapeutic Area Statistics at Bayer; and Dr. Chi Ji Yang, Executive Director of Global Biostatistical Science, Head of Therapeutic Areas in Oncology, Inflammation, and Nephrology at Amgen. They have kindly joined us today to discuss strategies to fully characterize the challenges of patient safety in healthcare product development. Thank you for joining us and welcome. Let me start with this question. Why did you think it was an important idea to have a special section on this topic in our journal?
So certainly we feel it's very important to publish quite a few papers on the safety topics in the TIRS journal. So there has been much increased emphasis on the proactive and comprehensive evaluation of safety endpoints to ensure patients' well-being during the drug development journey and through the life cycle management. As we all know, safety is very critical as a part of the benefit-risk assessment, and the statistician should be closely involved in this important process and contribute our expertise to study design, safety data collection, analysis, reporting, and interpretation. And we put a lot of efforts in the past few years. Tim has done a wonderful job. We put together four papers to examine safety throughout the medical product development and the post-market. And the publication focuses on different data sources on safety and the statistical strategies for design and analysis. And we really highlight the strengths of limitations of different data sources used to evaluate patient safety. And there's four manuscripts there. And the first one titled the Clinical Trials. Second one is on post-market surveillance. The third one is on real-world insights. And the fourth one focusing on transforming the data into evidence. Olga, go ahead.
I just wanted to add that when we started to prepare the manuscript, we actually thought that we will do one manuscript. But pretty quickly, we realized that it's not possible. And we need to do four manuscripts because there are lots of information which already exists and which we reviewed and contributed to and wanted to share. Then maybe a good question, why did we use this particular journal? Because we do believe that assessing safety is not just statistical work. It's definitely collaborative work. And we would like to provide some education to our statisticians who work in safety or maybe not working specifically in safety, but working in different aspects of trials, including clinical trials, observational trials, and some of the knowledge which is available in one sector might not be available in another. So we wanted to share this information. And as I mentioned, because it's a collaborative effort, we wanted to reach to other stakeholders such as clinicians, epidemiologists, and everyone else who are audience of therapeutic innovation and regulatory science and would be interested in this specific topic.
Hi, this is Richard, and I agree with everything that's been said. It very quickly became a mini dissertation, and as far as trying to summarize that within a single paper, that would have been very challenging. And Olga makes a very important point that safety, like a lot of topics in clinical trials, it really requires the expertise across a wide variety of disciplines. So it was important for us to sort of share our perspective on safety and across these different areas with all the different challenges associated with them, to give a little bit of our perspective. And hopefully that will create a dialogue in how to best move forward from where we currently are.
So we'll move on to a different question now, and one concerning clinical trials and as compared and contrasted with other methods of obtaining information. For the last 40 or 50 years, the randomized concurrently controlled clinical trial has become regarded as a very powerful tool with which to obtain information. Now we have multiple other ways to obtain information. So let me ask this question to the group. What do you think are the advantages and disadvantages of safety data obtained from clinical trials compared with those obtained from other sources?
Well, thanks for the question, Rick. And as far as clinical trials, there's a number of advantages. So among the various sources of data that we're going to be talking about, the data collected from clinical trials are perhaps the most clean and error-free, primarily because there's an opportunity to query investigators for results that do not make sense or are inconsistent with other findings that we have in the database. And as part of the clinical trial process, we often have the opportunity to standardize how data are measured or collected, say, in using a particular measurement technique or piece of equipment, or utilize centralized labs to have standardization across laboratory measurements, and even perhaps as far as how the results are interpreted. So if we're talking about event-driven trials, having committees or specialists adjudicating the events so that we're absolutely sure that the events are specifically meeting the criteria that we're interested in the trial. There's also the benefit of standardized schedules as to when we collect the data. And in many real-world scenarios, certain tests may or may not be performed due to the underlying disease or how the patient is feeling day-to-day. So there can be lots of missing data, partial data, and data that's measured with wildly varying frequency. Of course, as you mentioned, the randomization to treatment, the blinding, and concurrent controls help reduce bias and confounding. So the differences between these treatment arms can be more accurately estimated. In real-world sources, we may require adjusting for numerous background covariates that may naturally tend to differentiate between patients and the treatments that they're taking. But while we have these benefits, there are numerous major weaknesses. Clinical trials, first and foremost, are exceedingly expensive, and this is probably one of the reasons why the FDA and companies are exploring potential other available data sources to answer questions about safety and even efficacy in different disease areas. Clinical trials are also often of short duration, or we study too few patients to observe the necessary events over the course of development program. So trials are often underpowered unless we proactively try to combine data across multiple studies. And even then, we may not have enough patients within the typical development program. This issue with power and being able to identify comparisons is exacerbated also because of just the large number of potential safety endpoints that are available for analysis. And there's also the potential for bias. Patients enrolled in clinical trials often take fewer concomitant medications and have fewer confounding diseases, making the clinical trial population potentially much different from patients in the real world, and how the typical patient may respond based on our results from clinical trials is often unclear and requires assumptions beyond what we're able to summarize in the database. So ideally, we want to be able to understand the potential safety issues that could exist due to the drug class or disease in question and proactively plan for these potential pitfalls as early as possible in the development program of any new therapy. So this includes planning for ongoing meta-analyses so that we can assess signals with ever-increasing databases. But this is often easier said than done. Differences in study duration, available treatment arms, and patient characteristics may make combining these clinical trials challenging in practice. And perhaps one other thing, as far as trying to make clinical trials a little more like the real world, we can try to simplify inclusion and exclusion criteria to make the clinical trial population a bit more similar to the larger population, and also just streamline patient entry into trials.
Would either of you like to add anything?
You know, the big concern on the real-world data is the potential bias and confounding issue. So in general, often a clinical trial has a high difficulty to address the question it can address, mainly due to, for example, the randomization. So that's why clinical trial has less bias, less confounding issue, and also have less missing data issues over there in terms of, you know, having very good quality. Olga, please go ahead.
I wanted to mention that when we do clinical trials and we're trying to submit to a regulatory agency, these are not the final practical destination. Very important step, but at the same time, to get drugs to patients, we still need to make sure in many, many countries that patients get reimbursement for such drugs in order to be able to purchase and take it. So we see more and more, given all the limitations my colleagues already mentioned, that clinical trials just don't have adequate information for reimbursement decisions as well. And we do need to go to outside sources and going further to post-market surveillance and then real-world insights to get this information.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. So in other words, although clinical trial has the highest quality to address the question it can address, but it won't be always sufficient due to limited patient population, the size, the duration, especially high cost. So sometimes it's just not feasible for all the reasons that Richard and Olga already spelled out. So that's why other data sources are very critical in certain scenarios there.
Let's consider real-world insights. Some opponents of the 21st Century Cures Act have argued that while the Act streamlines the approval process, it could allow drugs and devices to be approved on weaker evidence by bypassing randomized control trials, potentially bringing treatments to market that are less effective and potentially less safe. Would you like to comment on that?
I just wanted to mention that in our paper, actually the third paper, which we published, we had three very good examples where various electronic health records were used. And the first one was the use of FDA of Sentinel system. And it's a very comprehensive platform, which has several partners. I think it's a good amount of partners from academia, from insurances, from research centers with whom FDA work. And when they have a question on safety, they can use electronic health records and claims data. They do such studies. And as I mentioned, we have a very good example in the paper, so I'm not going to repeat it. The second use of electronic health records addressed in the example in the same paper as well, when we use registry data. Registry data can easily use electronic health records, and that's what is usually used in registries. In our example, we had pregnancy registry data, and it was the registry which was put together by pharmaceutical company GSK, and they had a very good trial during which they could address specific safety issues. And then the third and probably the most interesting from my point of view would be pragmatic trial. Again, where we have an example of such trial in the paper and why it's the most interesting, because it combines the elements of clinical trials, for example, randomization, Of course, in pragmatic trials, we use cluster randomization and we randomized clinics or healthcare providers, but it still help us to minimize bias and confounding. And then the good thing in pragmatic trials that we do use electronic health records from healthcare providers for patients, which makes the trial cheaper and much more closer to real life practice.
Let me ask this question. How do we reconcile the different perspectives of healthcare providers, patients, and payers regarding clinical, financial, and personal needs?
As was mentioned already by my colleagues and me, I think that the most important is education to understand everyone's perspective, healthcare providers as patients, payers, because we all understand that we have a very different need, but at the same time, we have a common goal as well. And then collaboration, I think, is very important. Collaborate, educate, understand each other's perspectives and try to do good planned studies and common research.
I agree wholeheartedly with what Olga said, and I think this question kind of goes back to the idea of safety in general, even within a pharmaceutical company. So there's multiple disciplines that need to get involved: clinical, statistical, epidemiologists, regulatory, so on and so forth. And just in the same way that we try to work across these different groups and build consensus, in a similar way, we need to do that with different perspectives among the healthcare providers and patients and payers to get all of this sort of working together so that we can answer all of these issues as best we can, balancing the needs of all the different groups. So I think transparency is one of the things we can certainly do, but getting everybody in the room and making sure everybody has a seat at the table.
So the next question I would like to ask concerns transforming safety data to evidence. What is your recommendation for transforming safety data into the type of evidence that will help determine and refine the safety profile of a medical product?
So the continuous safety assessment through drug life cycle management is certainly very important. As we know, the data could come in from different sources. So how to synthesize the information from data sources over time is absolutely important. As a result, the totality of the data is very important to be considered. And on top of that is, as we know, many clinical trials are multi-region. So that's why certain international guidelines, such as ICH guideline, could be very important. And another point I like to mention is standardized design and algorithm and help us to facilitate the understanding of the data from different sources. So statisticians have a lot of work to do to provide, for example, a framework for selecting among the design, standardizing the endpoints and analysis for specific databases, outcome or exposure, but also to keep up with the methodology for causal inference and the data capture standards and the data sources that are continuously evolving.
Well, that's just been a fantastic discussion. Thank you so much for covering so many topics in a relatively short period of time. And most importantly, thank you, Richard, Olga, and Chi, for an excellent discussion. Thank you for devoting your time. And again, to our listeners, thank you for making time to listen to the presentations our speakers have given. For Therapeutic Innovation and Regulatory Science, I'm Rick Turner.
To learn more about this topic, visit us online at diaglobal.org.